if you would, we're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5. I named this sermon the Master Fisherman. How many know Jesus is a fisher of men, right? And he is the master, and so we're going to look at that here today. There's a little bit of Thomas that lives in all of us. How many know Thomas, one of the disciples? We usually refer to him as Doubting Thomas, and a lot of us in areas of our life, we may be strong in some areas, and then there's other areas of our life that we may not be so confident in our faith receiving from the Lord in certain areas. But today, I just want to bring out a point that seeing does not always lead to believing. We've had a few incidences, a few things in our lifetime that we've seen, and it took us a while just to kind of digest it. How many know where they were on 9/11? When those planes hit the World Trade Center buildings. And how many would admit that you've probably seen it more than a dozen times? How many probably seen? I've seen it over 100 times. If you watch the news clip, you probably seen it just a dozen times just in just a newscast. And so it took us a little while as we watched it over and over and over again just to believe that it actually took place. I don't know how many of you, Joe, were around during Pearl Harbor. But we know that the bleeps showed up on the radar, and they didn't really understand what it was. They couldn't believe what happened until actually the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. How many were around when they landed on the moon? How many still believe they did not land on the moon? When I was growing up, a lot of people didn't believe that they actually went to the moon, that it was kind of a fake thing, a farce. And so some people maybe still trying to digest that one. But as we read the Bible, we see this same principle taking place, that people saw the miracles, they saw the hand of God, and yet they really didn't believe. In Psalm 78, verse 32, this is talking about, that whole chapter is talking about the Israelites in the desert, how they saw the miracles of God. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. God fed them. God supplied the water. And yet, they did not believe. And it says in that scripture, the people kept on sinning. They refused to believe in his miracles. In John 10:38, Jesus refers to God as his Father. And so he is being identified as the Son of God in this chapter. He says in verse 38, he says, "But if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I have done, even if you don't believe me." And so he was saying, you know, if you don't believe what I'm saying, at least believe what you're seeing. And that's where I'm going today. Seeing is not always believing. In Matthew 28, verse 17, Jesus is about to give the great commandment, the great commission here in the next verse. But he says there in verse 17, when they saw him, this is his disciples, they worshiped him. That's a good thing, isn't it? But it goes on and says, but some of them doubted. Could you imagine seeing a resurrected Christ, eating with the resurrected Christ, sitting under his teaching, and yet not believing who he is and who he was? So following Jesus is more than just seeing. As I grew up, we were raised in a mainline denominational church. We attended church, but the truth is, we did not experience Jesus Christ. We believed in the person of Jesus Christ, but we didn't know him personally in our lives. If you would hear my mom's testimony, she would say that we grew up in the church, she taught Sunday school, but she never heard of being born again. And so we have this object of we see him, we may understand some of the stories in the Bible, but yet we don't believe him in the way in which we should. So today following Jesus is more than just seeing here this morning. It's about having a personal experience. It's not just having a revelation of who he is, but it's actually having an experience with him. And so we need to experience Jesus Christ for ourselves on a personal basis here this morning. We know that some of us like food. How many like food? If you go with Joe, you know that guy likes food. Some food looks really good. And there's some food, I don't care how much you dress it up, it still does not look good. My wife tries to get me to try some new things, and she'll tempt me by saying, hey, I think you'll like this. Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. So what's better than looking at food is what? Eating food, right? Because food is something, when we taste it, it takes us to a new level. Psalms 34:8 says, see that the Lord is good. Most of us would quote it that way. But the truth is, taste and see that the Lord is good. So it's not just taking somebody's word for it about food being good, right, Romeo? But it's in the tasting, right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. So it's not important that we just show people. We want them to experience Jesus. We want them to have a taste of the person of Jesus Christ. Peter saw the works of Jesus. Peter had been spending some time with Jesus. And no doubt he was one of the disciples who saw Jesus turn water to wine. He was there probably when Jesus cleansed the temple. He heard the powerful teachings in the synagogues as Jesus went from place to place. We saw him rejected in his own hometown. That was one tough crowd, wasn't it? So if you don't like my sermon today, you don't have to throw me over a cliff, all right? But they rejected his message in his own hometown. He cast out demons. He even healed Peter's mother-in-law. So I don't know if that put him in favor with Peter or not, right? Mother-in-laws? We'll move on, all right? He healed all kinds of diseases. Everyone he touched, the Bible says in that beginning of Luke, that he touched was healed. So we're going to look at chapter 5 here in Luke 5, and I want to show you some things here today. Peter was still not fully persuaded of who Jesus was. Even though he witnessed all these things, and he watched the ministry of Jesus Christ, he saw that the Lord was good, but he had not tasted it for himself. So this describes a whole lot of people today. A lot of people know about Jesus, they understand about Jesus, but they have not tasted who he is. They have not participated in a divine relationship with him. So that describes a whole lot of people today, even people sitting in church. You may be here today and know all about the Lord, but you have not tasted him personally here this morning. Last week we talked about Jesus uses broken things to speak to our hearts. Broken homes, broken hearts, broken bodies, broken hopes and dreams, broken promises, broken health, broken lives. Our family came to Jesus Christ, even though we were religious, through bankruptcy and suicidal thoughts on the part of my mom. You see, their marriage was broken. Their finances were broken. And yet God turned them around. You see, broken things provide opportunities for divine experiences. Aren't you glad that each one of us here today suffered something broken in our life, even if it was just a broken relationship with Christ because of the sin in our life? So even at the age of 5, accepting Jesus Christ, you had to come to the understanding that at the age of 5, I'm a great sinner. That I needed a Savior. So God used a broken net to catch Peter's attention. And so we're going to kind of continue the thought from last week. If you remember, we talked about broken bread, broken Christ, and broken things. And so God uses broken things in our lives to bring us into a relationship with him. So we're in Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. We're going back to the King James, and so it may read a little strange to you here today. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And so I want to look at the King James, because only in the King James will you find this wording. The first one is, there was two ships. In verse 3, as he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other boat, on the other ship, that they should come and help him. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. It's kind of an amazing story. And if you're a fisherman, you would like to have an experience similar to this. But as we begin here, I want you to notice that Jesus told him to do two things. He said, I want you to launch out into the deep, and I want you to let down your nets. Plural. I want you to let down your nets. And so we see Peter responds very enthusiastically in response to Jesus' command to go out and go fishing. He was on it, I'm on it, Jesus, yes, let's go, let's do it. No, the truth is, Peter reluctantly obeyed. When we hear the Lord's voice, sometimes we reluctantly obey his voice. And Peter was not in a hurry to obey Jesus' voice. Because we know when we hear Jesus' voice, there's going to be a cost to it. How many know that there's a cost to being obedient to Jesus? There is. We can say that salvation is free all we want, but how many know it costs you your life? We can't earn it, we can't buy it because it was provided for us, but if we want to pick it up and run with it, guess what? It's going to cost you something. And Peter knew this day that it was going to cost him something. He knew it was going to cost him extra effort. He had just spent all night fishing. And here Jesus says, okay, let's go back out. It's going to cost him. And how many know following Jesus sometimes costs us money? Sometimes Jesus calls at a very inconvenient time. How many have heard the voice of God or were impressed by something at a time when you thought it was the most inconvenient time that he could have asked you to do something for him? It costs us something. Also, there was the pride in Peter because he was the professional fisherman. This is what he did for a living. And he knew that you didn't go out during the day. He knew you didn't go out to the deep. Everything that you weren't supposed to do is what Jesus told him to do. Because how many know that we know what we're doing? That we have all things in control. We can do things better. But how many know when God comes in and contradicts what we think or what we believe or what we understand, it's a little bit hard for us. It goes against our ego. It goes against our pride. Peter was tired. He was bone tired. How many have ever been bone tired? You spend your whole day doing something, and at the end of the day, what do you want to do? You want to kick up your feet and relax. And so in this story, we see that they're cleaning their nets. They're done for the day. They worked all night. And Jesus is saying, hey, guys, you know, I like to go fishing. It didn't go over so well. And how many know when we're asked to do something when we don't want to, how many know we whine a little bit? Right? We gripe and we murmur a little bit. I can't believe you're asking me to do this now. He did a little bit of whining. But he obeyed against his better judgment. How many of you do stuff out of obligation? How many of you are married? How many know you do a lot of things out of obligation? Right? You don't feel like it, but in your best interest, you know you better do it. Right? So against his better judgment, he does. He goes back out. It's because it's you who tells me to do it. Because of Jesus. He said, it's because of you. He said, if it was Andrew, if it was John or James, I wouldn't have done it. But since you're the one asking, I'm going to do it. So Peter was reluctantly reluctant to obey what Jesus was asking. And secondly, Peter partially obeyed. And as I said, in King James, you're not going to find it in any of the other translations, but in King James, we kind of pick up the story. Jesus requested here in this story, he said, I want you to take both boats. He said, I want all the fishermen. There's at least four that we know of. There's Peter and Andrew, James and John. I want you all to go out, and I want you to use all the nets. Because God had a greater plan. He wasn't just interested in Peter, but Peter is in the middle of this story. And this is who Jesus is working on. So we look at this story here, and we see that Peter only partially obeys. So what does Peter do? He takes one boat, there's only two fishermen, and there's only one net. You can look at that in verse 4 and 5 of those scriptures in the King James Version. So we see that Peter half-heartedly obeys. And he's doing this just to humor Jesus, just to appease Jesus. But the thing is, he is underestimating Jesus. How many of you, when you came to Jesus Christ, underestimated him? You really didn't know what you were getting into. And so as we look in this story, we see that he really underestimated Jesus. He had no idea what he was getting himself into. Because this is going to be the turning point of his life. This is going to be his divine appointment with God. This is going to be his crisis of faith. And if you have never had a crisis of faith, then you're really not a believer in Jesus Christ. Because we all come to that place in our walk with him where we have that crisis of faith. And this is Peter's crisis of faith. So if you know anything about Jesus, he does everything well. How many of you know that? He does everything with all that he is and all that he has. In Mark 7, verse 37, he has just healed a deaf and mute man. And it says here, they were completely amazed. Who was the crowd? And said again and again, everything he does is wonderful. Everything he does is well. That's who our God is. That's who we're serving. He looks after our best interest. Everything he does is incredible. It's awesome. We sang it here this morning. We actually sang that song, Awesome. Our God is awesome. I'm sorry you're not excited about that. But he is awesome. He is wonderful. He is lovely. He is incredible. He is beautiful. Hallelujah. So Peter discovers this for himself in this story. Jesus will use what we give him. The fact is, he can only use what we give him. He begins with what we give him. How many know we don't give him everything? We say we give him everything, but how many know after you're saved, there's a lot of things that you kind of held on to? And that we are a work in progress. That he is constantly what? When we think we have arrived, he shows us something new that we can work on. We are a work in progress. And so Peter's process is just about ready to begin. So we looked at this. Peter reluctantly obeyed. Peter partially obeyed. And so now we see that Peter gets caught in Jesus' net. He gets caught in the net because Jesus is the master fisherman. So let me read verse 6 and 7 again. And so when they, at least two in the boat, had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. I don't know, if you are a fisherman and you're using a net, you do not want to have a broken net. Because how many fish do you think you're going to catch with a broken net? Not very many, if any. And so they beckoned to their friends, their partners, which was on the other ship, that they should come and help them. Isn't that the plan to begin with? They were supposed to already be there. And they came and filled both ships, so they began to sink. That's quite a catch. And we kind of understand why the net began to break. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, saw the catch, all the fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." I don't know. I've had some good fishing days, but I've never fell down on the bank and said, thank you, Jesus, I'm a sinful man. Never happened to me. Maybe I've never had a day like this, but. For he was astonished, verse 9 says, and all that were with him at the draught of fish that were taken that day. So Peter was astonished at the amount of fish. Isn't that what it says? Isn't that what we just read? I don't know, maybe I'm reading a different story. Isn't that what I just read? All right. But the greater miracle is catching two boatloads of fish with a broken net. I think that's a greater miracle. Wouldn't you think? So what we have here is a picture of a broken net and the possible loss of fish. But Jesus knew there was enough fish to fill all their nets. Isn't that amazing? When Jesus said, take all your nets, throw all your nets, because I have a great miracle in store for you. And the truth is, Peter reluctantly obeyed. Peter partially obeyed. Peter lacked faith in Jesus. At this time, Peter is still just a spectator. He's still sitting on the fence. He has still not had a decision to give himself completely to Jesus. So Jesus has a way of bringing it home to Peter here in this story. The greater life lesson in this story is a broken net representing a broken life. So there is a revelation of here Peter gets. He's looking at a broken net with all these fish, and he's looking at his life. Peter sees himself in the light of this event. I really need you to understand what I'm saying here today. Jesus sees himself as the broken net. He is a broken man. We read there in that scripture, he fell at Jesus' knees. He grabs him by the knees in the boat, and he begins to say, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. You see, in spite of the broken net, a miracle still happens. He still fills the nets. That's a miracle. How many know with the little bit that we have given him of our life, he has done some amazing things. He has done some miraculous things in our life. Jesus had Peter where he wanted him. He had him in his net. And as a master fisherman, Jesus knew how to mend broken nets. Aren't you glad here today? Verse 10, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So Jesus moved Peter from seeing to believing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. I don't know how they got all the fish up there. But that's not the story. The story is about a man, a man's heart, a man using him, a man, Jesus bringing a man to a place of tasting and seeing that he is good. I want to read another fishing story. Let's go to John chapter 21. This is another fishing story, and it reads a little different than the one we read. John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again. This is after the resurrection. Jesus showed himself to his disciples at the Sea of Galilee again, and on this wise showed it he himself. Verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. How many of you have ever said that? Joe, you said talk like that? I go a-fishing. You want to come? All right. And look what they said. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, one ship, immediately. And that night they caught nothing. And this seems to be a kind of a habit with these guys. They go fishing and don't catch anything. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? Have ye any fish? And they answered him, no, we don't. And he said unto them, cast what? The net. on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Think about it. They've caught so many fish this time, they can't even get it into the boat. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat on him, for he was naked. I don't know, Joe, if I would see you naked in a boat, there's no way I would get in that boat. All right? It's just not going to happen. And he did cast himself into the sea. Verse 8. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as they were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then, as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid there on and bread. Could you imagine that? They spent all night fishing, and Jesus already has it made. Verse 10, Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which you have caught now. Simon Peter went up and drew, what? The net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. So we see a second miracle this time. We see a fish, a net full of fish, and yet we see that the net did not break. So Peter, how many know Peter doesn't need the same miracle again? Peter needs a different miracle. The first one, Peter needed to be saved. Peter needed to accept Jesus Christ for who he was. Here in this story, we see that Peter needs to be restored. And if you're familiar with the story, we know that Peter denied Jesus three times, right? But we also know that he was already forgiven before it even happened. He said, Peter, when this happens, I want you to go and help your brothers. So he was almost pre-forgiven for the sin that he was about to commit. And so we see in this story here that even though we're forgiven at times, how many know sometimes it's hard to forgive ourselves for some of the things that we'd have done? So we read in this story, there is one boat, one net, throw it on the right side of the boat, and we see that the net was not broken this time. So the miracle is they caught such a large amount of fish that they couldn't even get it in the boat. They actually had to drag it to the shore to unload the net of fish. That in itself is a miracle. But today, as I begin to close here, God's grace is immeasurable. We cannot measure God's grace. I am so grateful that He still loves me. I am still grateful that He still puts up with me. That is grace. Peter had forgiveness. Peter had received forgiveness. The Bible says he appeared to Peter by himself, the scripture says. And they did some transacting. They did some business. Peter did not need a broken net because he was already broken. We read it in the first story. He was already broken. He already came to the place where he knew he needed Jesus. But Peter needed to be restored. He needed to forgive himself. He needed to be healed. Some of us have a history. Some of us have done some incredibly bad things. Even though the Bible tells us that he can forgive anything, we still have a hard time accepting that. And today I want you to realize that when he forgives you, he doesn't bring it back up. We bring it back up. The good thing is that when we do blow it, we don't have to start all over. Aren't you glad when you were in the ninth grade and you failed ninth grade, you didn't have to go back to kindergarten? But somehow in our minds, we think spiritually, if we blow it, we have to go back from the very beginning and start all over. That's foolish. No, we ask forgiveness, dust ourselves up, get back up, and we carry on. And that's where Peter is in this situation. He's not asking Peter to go back to the beginning. We don't need any more broken nets. We've already been through that scenario. Now it's time to be restored. It's time to get back where you left off and finish the job. Jesus wanted Peter to put all this behind him because he had a ministry. He had an assignment for Peter. Take care of my sheep. And while you're taking care of my sheep, keep your eyes on me. Follow me. Let's get our eyes off of people, church. Let's get our eyes on Jesus. So, as I'm talking about this morning, the sermon was about two fishing miracles. Miracles that happened to Peter. Yes, there was others aboard. Others that experienced it, probably the same other three disciples were here in this event as well. And how many know sometimes the blessings we receive is a blessing that's shared? Peter was a leader. Jesus needed Peter's heart. He had Peter's heart, probably the others would follow. He was that type of person. So we have two miracles. One miracle, a broken net. Seeing needs to lead to believing. He saw the ministry of Jesus, but he didn't believe him. Seeing leads to believing. There are people in churches sitting today that see, but they don't believe. We need a personal experience. We need to seal the deal. In that first miracle, the deal was sealed. There wasn't a doubt in Peter's heart anymore who Jesus Christ was from that point on. He stopped being a spectator and became a participant. And today, as followers of Jesus Christ, all of us have a broken net story. We all have a testimony of how God had come into our life. We encountered God at that broken place in our life. We all have a testimony. And if you don't, you need to meet Jesus because he has a testimony for you. He wants to meet you where you live. He met Peter where he lived. His livelihood, his life centered around fishing. He wasn't persuaded by the miracles. He wasn't persuaded by the teaching. He wasn't persuaded even as close as he was to his mother-in-law. That didn't persuade him. But Jesus met him where he lived, on a boat, where his heart was. The second miracle is that of an unbroken net. Forgiveness is available for the asking. Restoration is desired on Jesus' part. If you have something in your relationship with Christ that's just kind of a roadblock, a wall, it's not his issue, it's your issue. His grace is sufficient. His salvation covers everything. Forgiveness is available for the asking. And maybe you're here this morning, there's some things in your life that you have done and you need to get right. Sometimes we just need to let go and be healed. You know, sometimes things happen to us and we get hurt. We get hurt and we hang on to that. But sometimes, which is maybe even harder, is that we hurt others. And sometimes it's hard to forgive yourself for hurting somebody else. Some of us are hanging on to some things, maybe in some relationships, maybe with our kids, maybe with something far worse. We had a minister when we were in New Mexico as associates. He gave us testimony about how he begged his sister over and over again to go tubing, snow tubing. And she didn't want to go, but he persuaded her. And when he did, she went down the hill on the first hill, hit a tree, and became a paraplegic. That was probably one of the most powerful testimonies I ever heard because it wasn't about the sister but it was about himself. How he didn't have the ability to forgive himself. Because if he would have never asked his sister or persuaded her to do that, then she would never been a paraplegic. He had to live with that guilt. And he said it came to a point in his life where he finally had to be healed of that. He had to let it go and forgive himself. So you might be the one that's been hurt and abused and misused, but sometimes we wear the other foot, and sometimes we have been a stumbling block to somebody else's faith. And we need to forgive ourselves. Because if we've asked forgiveness, guess what? He forgives. There is therefore what? No condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. If you'll come. God has a purpose for all of us. And I know you've heard it from many different people. Yes, we have a purpose. God has a plan for us. He does. But this morning, we're called to follow Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning and you're in the area of the first net. You need to have a broken net experience with Jesus. You need to see yourself. God uses broken things. Some of us came to Jesus because of broken things in our life. Very obvious things. Tragedies, hardships, losses, painful things. Maybe you're here today and you need to have a miracle in your life, an encounter with Jesus. And secondly, here today, maybe your story is an unbroken net where you don't need to have a relationship with Jesus, but you need restoration. You need an open heaven. You need a divine connection where there's a liberty, a freedom, and a joy, and a peace just coming into his presence. But there's just some things in your life that you just keep hanging on to, and it's just ruining that relationship because you don't want to let it go. Let it go. Don't walk out this morning with it. I'm going to open the altars today. If you want prayer, we'll gladly pray with you this morning. Allow Jesus to heal you. Let him heal you to the place that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a believer, a follower of Jesus. And secondly, if there's something there, please do business with him. Please let it go. Stop carrying it. The altars are open this morning if you need to. For prayer, we'll gladly anoint you with oil. We'll pray for you here this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we wait upon you this morning, Lord, because you're our healer. You met Peter on that boat, Lord, and you had a plan. You're the master fisherman, Lord, and you knew what he needed that day. You know what each heart needs in this house today. Meet us where we live, Lord. Do your work. Lord, bring healing. We concentrate so much on the physical healing. Sometimes we don't deal with the inner healing that we need, of just maybe forgiving somebody or being jealous of somebody, being angry with somebody, unforgiveness. Bring healing today, Jesus. Help us to stop hanging on to it. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy Spirit, do your work today. Heal, Jesus. Heal our hearts, Jesus. We talked about your broken body, Lord. It was broken that we might be whole. Make your people whole. Heal your people, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you that we have stories in the Bible that tell us what's going on inside of us, Lord. Sometimes we don't even understand what's going on in us. Peter didn't understand what was going on. He saw with his eyes the wonderful things that you were doing, but he needed to experience those wonderful things for himself. I pray this week, Father, that you will just open eyes, open ears this week. And I just pray, Father, that there will be something incredible that happens in each and every one of our lives, Lord. That will remind us that you're still working in our lives, that you're still speaking into our lives, that you're still wanting to draw us close to you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, your love. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Praise God.